Amen. Good singing this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you. It is a privilege and an honor for me to be able to be here and stand today. I want to talk about the birth of a Savior today. You know, and we're going to give you several different places of Scripture to consider and talk about. But Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of a Savior. Many, many people celebrate Christmas. They go and do different things at Christmas time, but they don't celebrate Christmas often understanding what Christmas is. You know, there are many, many people that would not want to hear a gospel message, that would not want to come to the house of the Lord, but at Christmas time, they get together and they give gifts. They get together and they enjoy their time away from work, and they don't realize it was Jesus that had to come to earth, pay the price for them to have the privileges and the blessings that they have. I want to begin reading. I got just a verse I want to read in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4. And then we're going to begin to move through the Word of God. And I'm just going to try to share with you the things that God has got on my heart. Now, this is going to have to be some teaching this morning, some doctrine. But here's the thing to understand at Hiram First Baptist Church. The altars are always open. And if you need to talk to the Lord, I don't care if I'm preaching, I don't care if it's during the song service, but especially as we give an invitation, you need to know Jesus. You know, just knowing about Him is not enough. You know, what I enjoy most about being a Christian is my personal relationship with God and being able to worship and praise His name. But you've got to know Him. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 and verse number 5. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." And here's the thing to understand. God's timing is perfect. And God's timing for the birth of Jesus Christ was perfect timing. And that night was a night that is above all nights, the focal point of all the ages, divided between the Old and the New Testament. When B.C. and A.D. came together, a point in time that would mark a change for the entire world. It's the point between the Old Testament and the New, when the prophets had told the story of what was to come, and the people were preparing. As Solomon stood in the temple after years of service, believing that Jesus would come, it was a perfect time. It was a time, and I want you to consider this, God's timing is always perfect, and God's timing is going to be perfect again, okay? It was a time when Rome had conquered the known world, and Roman roads would allow for an easier spread of the gospel. There was Roman courts, Roman justice that brought things into the land that had never been in the land before. And if we understand as we read from the Word of God, you know, the Old Testament is written mostly in Hebrew, some Aramaic. But you come into the New Testament and you find that the oldest manuscripts, we find them written in Greek. The expressive Greek language. And have you ever thought about why? You know, now I'll give you just a thought and we're going to move on. But in today's time, when the Bible says before the Lord could come, the gospel must first be published among all nations. Just a short time ago, the printing press arrived upon this planet and the gospel was able to be printed. And then we had the internet, and obviously now there's nowhere in the world that you can actually take a gospel message. With satellite imagery and internet, you can go into the deepest parts of Africa and they can hear this service this morning. But during that time, the Greek language was there, and I've thought about this often. Why? So the gospel could be written in the four gospels the way that it was, so that you and I could understand what was brought through Jesus Christ, which was agape love, a love that was given to the world that the world had never known before. In Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says this, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, and everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, I want to tell you, as we're reading these verses, every verse has significance. You know, the place that they went to was prophetic. It was prophetic in Micah, the Old Testament, chapter 5 and verse 2. And I want to remind you, folks, at the time of the birth of Christ, they did not have the Bible that we have. They did not have the New Testament. At best, they may have had the Talmud or copies of certain prophets or verses, or maybe the Pentateuch, but they did not have what we have. But those who should have known, the scribes, the Pharisees, they would have known the scripture that's written in Micah chapter 5 in verse number 2, but says this: But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. Now, this scripture, this prophecy is given in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. That prophecy fulfilled in Luke chapter 2 and verse 4, where it says, And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now, when they came into Bethlehem, what did they find? They found a stable. They found a manger. They found swaddling clothes. No room for them in the inn. Now, it's significant to understand that when Jesus came into the world, he came into a world that seemingly had no room for him. And he came in the humblest of possibilities that he could come. You know, just a poor little family that was there that went and found a place for the Son of God to be born in a stable. You know, the story of Jesus' birth actually involves three very important characters, and I want to talk a little bit about all three of those today. The first is the matriarch, which is Mary. That's his mother. The second is the monarch, which is Joseph, and we want to talk about the significance of Joseph. And then we want to talk about the Messiah himself, which is Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, he is called Yeshua HaMashiach, which means Jesus, the Messiah. Now, I want you to consider the matriarch Mary. Now, what is the significance of Mary? In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14, the scripture, the prophecy is given. It says, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, the word Emmanuel, it actually means God with us. We find this scripture fulfilled. You can look in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. You can look in the Gospels and see that there was a little girl, a little virgin girl, that was spoken to by an angel. Now, when we understand how important this is, the significance of the virgin birth is very, very important. You see, I don't believe that you can actually be saved and know Christ in the Spirit of God and not believe in the virgin birth. I just don't know how the two can come together. You know, the first mention, you say, well, I just don't know how that can happen. Well, you're thinking with a carnal mind and not a spiritual mind. And the first mention of the virgin birth is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, where the Lord said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a verse that actually is a prediction of Jesus' victory over Satan, where Jesus crushed the head of Satan while suffering a heel wound in the process. But I want to give you something else. He said, between thy seed and her seed. Now, you understand that a woman does not have seed. A woman has eggs. How can a woman have a child without being with a man, except that through the Holy Spirit and power of God touching her, and she is able to be with child? This is very, very significant. It's even confirmed further in Galatians 4:4, where God sent forth his son, and the scripture says, made of a woman. Now, Jesus, consider this, was both man and God. Without the virgin birth, Jesus would have been just a man and not God and man, because there was no sin passed from Jesus through the bloodline of Adam. Because in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there was nothing passed through Adam, because Jesus was born of a virgin birth. Now, without the virgin birth, Jesus was, at best, just a good man. And you know, and there are some today that actually try to teach that. They say that Jesus was just one of the prophets. But I believe, based on what the Word of God says, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was born of a virgin birth, and I believe it happened just like God's Word says. Have you ever thought about Mary and wondered why? Doesn't the Bible talk about, Hail Mary, thou art highly favored? And if you look at that, here's something to understand. It's very fortunate. Could you imagine being in these times and living in these times and an angel coming to you and telling you you're very fortunate? Even though you've never been with a man, you're going to have a child. Mary was full of virtue. And sometimes in Scripture, when we're studying the Word of God, just a few words have great meaning. Why Mary? Why her? I want to give you just a nugget from Scripture that I believe tells us why it was her, why it was this Mary, why it was this girl. Mary was of the daughters of Aaron. The daughters of Aaron were the line of priests. And if we understand doctrinally and come through, and we're going to talk about it, he is our prophet, he is our priest, he is our king. Over in Luke chapter 1 in verse number 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia. And it says, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. You come down to Luke chapter 1 in verse number 36, and here you see the link begin to come together. And it says, where the angel's speaking to her, it says, and behold, this is speaking to Mary, thy cousin Elizabeth. She hath also conceived a son in her old age, and is in the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Now, you know, you say, well, you know, you're stretching. I don't think so, and I'll tell you why. I think what God does, he does it perfectly. And I believe when Mary went over there to where Elizabeth was, and she spoke to Mary, and here's John, you know, he can't speak because, you know, he didn't necessarily believe God. He couldn't talk until he said, his name is John. But he's there, and as Mary begins to speak to Elizabeth, the Bible says that the child leaped within her womb because of the movement of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. In the Old Testament, the Bible says the Lord doth know how the bones do grow in the womb. Folks, there's a whole lot to say about that as Christians, and that we ought to be pro-life. Saw a bumper sticker not long ago. It said, pro-choice Christians giving Jesus Christ a bad name, and they told the year that it was voted in. Christians ought to be pro-life. The Holy Spirit moved on John, and he leaped within the womb. Amen. And as she's there speaking with her. So how highly should we regard Mary? We should honor her as a virtuous woman. We should honor her as the mother of Jesus, highly regarded as the mother of Jesus. We should also understand that Mary suffered as she watched Jesus die on the cross. She was a young woman when Jesus died. And Jesus was actually a young man. Proverbs 31:10 says this, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies. And truly we can say that about Mary, So what should we do? I think we should recognize the significance of Mary, that Mary was highly favored and that Mary was a woman of virtue. But then what should we not do? You know, I think we should not regard her more highly than God's Word teaches. You see, there is a certain religion that teaches that Mary had an immaculate conception herself, that basically they teach that she herself was born without sin. But the Bible does not teach that. There is also a religion that teaches that Mary had so much influence over her son that we should pray to her and that she will talk to Jesus on our behalf as a mother talking to her son. But I want to tell you something else. The Bible does not teach that. So we should highly regard Mary, but Mary must be put into the proper place. Let's also consider the monarch, which is Joseph. Now, I love to look at and study about Mary, and you consider what her husband Joseph must have went through because, you know, basically they were betrothed. What happens during a betrothal is the parents get together, and a lot of times, obviously, the guy's older than the girl, and they arrange a wedding, and they sign the betrothal, and the deal is made, and basically they cannot be separated at that time. Except through divorce, even though they've never come together. Basically, what Joseph is doing is waiting on his wife to grow up. And the angel comes to Mary and said, "Hail, favored one, you shall have a son." And then he comes over here to Joseph and he speaks to him in a dream and said, "It's going to be all right." You know, the Old Testament said if a woman was caught in the shape that she's in, it's just like adultery, and he was afraid for her, and he thought, "I'm going to put her away to protect her." But God said, "It's going to be all right. You take Mary to you." What is the significance of Joseph? You see, Joseph is perhaps the least recognized, yet most important, of the earthly parents of Jesus. Now we know that based on what the Word of God tells us, that Joseph raised Jesus, but it was not the seed of Joseph that Jesus came from. The way that Mary was with child is the Holy Spirit simply moved over her. You know, you study your Old Testament and we see how God created man from the dust of the earth, and he just reached down and he took a clump of clay and he made a man. You find another place where Jesus reached down, he took some clay and some spittle and he rubbed it over the eyes of one that was blind and he was able to see. But when Jesus took, and you know, when God the Father reached down, and the Bible says in the beginning he said, "Let us make man." By the way, Jesus has always been around. I got another message of Jesus before the birth, okay? But we're going to have to stay on track right here. He reached down and he got the lump of clay and they made man. Then he breathed into his nostrils and man became a living soul. You see, if you don't believe the Word of God, you're not going to believe the Word of God. You either believe that God made man in his image and he made the first man just like he said and the Bible is true, or you're not going to believe anything. What do you believe? Where does your hope come from? Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost. That means that God simply breathed. And here's Joseph. What's the significance? The prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The prophecy is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, and I'm going to read the first verse and just for the sake of time go to the 16th verse. But in the first verse it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham." Now you go through those 14 verses between 1 and 16, and you can see how God moved and what the bloodline of Jesus Christ was. But when you come down to the 16th verse, it says this, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So all the generations from Adam, Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations." Now remember that God's timing is perfect. Now I'm going to have to stop right here and tell you, when I was studying this, I thought, Lord, I wish I knew how many generations it was from then to now. You know how preachers are. You know how people, I got it figured out. They get out their calendar and their charge and they say, here it is. I can't help but wonder when he's coming back. But God's timing was perfect. You see, here's why. Because Joseph was a direct descendant from King David. Joseph was the link that connected Jesus to King David, not Mary. Joseph's name, and this is very important, names are important. Jesus actually means Savior. Joseph means adding. You see, Joseph was a carpenter in Nazareth, but he should have been sitting on the throne as king because he was a direct descendant that God pointed out of King David. Joseph was not the king, but through him, one would be added. Remember, his name means adding. One would be added that would be the Savior of the world. Now, consider these prophetic scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15 says this, "In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land." Hosea chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Revelation 22 and 16 says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." You see, Joseph is as essential to the Christmas story as David because Joseph is the link to David. And if you understand Bible prophecy and study in the Word of God, you find that more space is devoted to the link of Joseph and David to Jesus Christ than to the virgin birth. But when you come to the place that we actually see Joseph in Scripture, the record of Joseph is actually brief. Why? Have you ever considered why? Because I believe as king, in order for Jesus to be on the throne, Joseph would have had to been gone from the picture. Because if Joseph was in the picture, Joseph would have been the heir. Joseph had to pass from the scene in order for Jesus to be king. And if you remember when Jesus was there on the cross, something that he said to the disciples, he said, "Behold thy mother, and woman, behold thy son." Why would he have said that to those disciples? But it was because Joseph was gone. Now, there's a whole lot in that, but I want you to understand, when Jesus hung on the cross, he really did die hanging on the cross as the King of the Jews. Now, let's consider the Messiah, which is Jesus. It's hard for me to understand, but I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that God loved the Gentiles. I'm thankful. I told somebody recently, I said, I'm so glad that the Lord sent Peter down to Cornelius' house. I'm so glad because Jesus is the Messiah. There are people today that are still looking for the Messiah to come. and they're still going, and they're still beating on the wailing wall, and they're putting their prayers in the wall, and they're crying out to God that Messiah might come. I have news for you, folks. Messiah has come. And when he comes again, it'll be the second time, and he'll be coming back for his people. The prophecy, again, Isaiah 9:7, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, the Old Testament and the New coming together, the Scripture says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So who is the Christ child Jesus? And let's go back and let's look at these links. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus, the Scripture says, is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Mal means king. Sadak means righteousness, and he was from where? Salem. He is the king of righteousness from the city of peace, because Salem means peace. If we understand the prophecies and we understand how they point together, how can any person celebrate Christmas without giving honor and praise to Jesus Christ as the Son of God? You see, Jesus is our high priest, and the duty of the high priest is this. He represented man to God. He taught the people about God. He offered the blood sacrifice for the people once for all. Remember, the Bible teaches that when Jesus was on the cross, and the veil of the high of the temple was actually rent from the top to the bottom, and it opened. So that when now we come to God, we come direct to the throne. We don't have to come through a priest. We don't have to come through somebody else. We can come right directly through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is our high priest. He is our access to the Holy of Holies beyond the veil. Something very, very significant to consider. Have you ever thought about this? Jesus' birth. Why did Jesus have to come? Don't you know the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. I believe God existed in eternity past, and he was there before the birth. He was there in the beginning. But I want you to consider something about why Jesus had to come, why Jesus had to be born. Because the birth of Jesus was the beginning of the blood of Jesus. Jesus offered his own blood as a sacrifice. Now, Jesus is our high priest. He is also our prophet. John 14:6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, sometimes we teach our kids John 3:16, amen. We ought to teach them John 14:6. Everywhere they go, secular college, the world school, all the different things that come against them, the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's either the Son of God, and he's who he said he is, or he's nothing. He's not an equal to another. He is our high priest. He is our prophet. He is our king. In John 3:16, you know the verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, he is a king who became a Savior. Now, he was raised in an humble abode by a carpenter as a father. And I believe, based on what I find written in the Word of God, the stories and what we see, that Joseph even wasn't long in his life. By a mother that was very young herself, basically a very young girl that God chose, and I believe it was because of her bloodline. I believe the timing was perfect. I believe God did everything just as it needed to be done so that Jesus could be born in an humble abode, come into this world, and he lived a sinless life to fulfill the word and the will of God to be a supreme sacrifice for mine and your sins. The birth of Jesus was the beginning of the blood of Jesus. Now I'm going to ask him to get ready with a song, but I want to read a couple of verses here from a song. And this is where I think the world should be. I think the world today should be celebrating that Jesus Christ has come. And based on what we understand, and we look at the timing of God, we look at the prophecies of God, I believe that he is getting ready to come again. And the Bible talks about every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. We played a little song earlier. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. There's going to come another time. This is going to be a shining. There's going to be a sound of the trumpet. And there's going to be a voice of the archangel. And I believe the people of God, the people that know God, the people that are looking for God, they're going to begin to celebrate and they're going to praise and they're going to say, it's him, it's him. He told us he was coming. It's him. Yeah. And that day, this song says, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven, and nature sing. Now, folks, I want to tell you this before she sings. As a Christian, as a child of God, I see the glory of God in many, many things. Because I know him. I know him. I know him as my Savior. I believe him. I believe his word. I believe that it was a virgin birth. I believe he lived and fulfilled the life that he did so that he could be the intercessor between God and man. And I believe he's coming back. And because I believe the things that I believe, let me tell you what it does for me. It gives me purpose and reason to live. Helps me understand why I'm here. It helps me understand why I'm going. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need that. You need that, and here's why. Because your life is going to pass. And it's going to pass very quickly. And you're going to step out into eternity. And you're going to remember this service. If you're here and God spoke to your heart this morning, I want to ask you to rise to your feet. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus. I'm thankful for this time of the year. I'm thankful for his sweet spirit that we felt this morning. Yes. That's something you need personally. Personally. Anything at all on your heart. If you'd like to pray, talk to God about anything. Maybe, you know, I know at this time of the year, for a lot of people, sometimes we're sad. You know, we're sad because we got so many loved ones. And it's like I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I've got to the point that I got more waiting for me on the other side than I got on this side. I was sitting with my wife and we were talking about it, and I told her, it just seems like our Christmas list is getting smaller and smaller. Why? Because they're celebrating with Jesus this year. I want to ask you, if you don't know Jesus, where do you get your hope? You can get it from God this morning. As she sings, would you please come?
The gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord, it was so vast, a crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I can't. 2,000 years ago. He came to me. Gently drew me.